freight efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosenfrenz.
On episode 14, we're joined by Clark Reed, professional driver with Nussbaum Transportation, where he talks about his career in trucking, hours of service rules for drivers, his experience in run on less, what he does prior to starting each day's route, what he has achieved in his existing truck and how he plans to improve into his new one, and his involvement with Team RunSpart. He also offers advice to other truckers and drivers about making the roads safer for everyone.
Today we have joining us Clark Reed, professional truck driver with Nussbaum Transportation. Hello, Clark. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
Now, where are you? And tell me a little bit about your run this week.
Well, right now I am sitting in beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska, waiting to get unloaded. Been kind of busy this week with some short kind of regional stuff. Started out in Philly, worked my way to the Midwest, and now I'm hanging out here waiting to deliver and then head on to the next adventure.
Wow, and you do, you're usually out for a couple weeks at a time, right?
Oh, that's correct, 3 to 4 weeks. Get home, I try to get home, you know, once or twice a month, but that's usually how long I stay out, yeah.
For people who don't really know, you need to take at least a 34-hour break every so often. But could you just, I mean, not too long, but just how does your breaks go and how many consecutive days driving? I mean, just walk us through it. Hours of service for a lot of us is a foreign thing.
Sure. Well, you know what? It can be that way for us, too, sometimes to keep changing them around. But typical week, say I start out on a Monday, I'll drive through probably Saturday afternoon, sometimes Saturday night. By then, I'm just about out of the – we're allowed to work 70 hours in an eight-day period. So about then, I'm running out of time. So I've got to take that 34-hour break that you mentioned. So that usually consists of sitting at a truck stop somewhere in my truck, and I'll use that time to watch some TV or, you know, videos or do whatever I can find, read, you know, sometimes just sit there and talk to other truck drivers. And then after 34 or 40 hours, depending on what the next load needs time-wise, I'm back at it again. So it's kind of a routine you fall into. As chaotic as that routine may seem, it does turn into a lifestyle.
And you start over with another 70-hour clock, right?
That is correct. Then we've got a fresh 70 hours, and if for some reason we cannot get that 34-hour break in, then we've got to do math and figure out how many hours we've used up and how many we gain the next day. And so while that is possible to do that, it gets really kind of hectic and can bite you the following week. So the 34-hour, at least for me, is the best way to keep things kind of normal.
So how long have you been at this? How did you get into trucking?
I've been doing this for almost 16 years now. Doesn't really seem that long, but I started out kind of on the other side of this. So I was in the office for a long time with a third-party logistics company, booking loads and planning routes and getting trucks ordered and stuff like that. And I did that for a very long time. But truth be told, I got tired of sitting in an office looking at the same thing. I had a two-hour commute in the Chicagoland area. I had a two-hour commute from home to work and then back from work to home. So initially the plan was for me to start driving truck, put my time in, and then get something local. So I was home every night, maybe a little bit more time at home. And somehow that didn't quite work out, and I ended up being over the road and really enjoying it and finding my place in this.
Yeah, quite interesting. So instead of sitting in traffic, you decided to go into traffic and get paid for those miles.
Yeah, get paid to sit, kinda. Yeah. So
and yet your career's a little opposite of what many might think. You know, many might think you drive a truck and then you move into the office, and you did it the other way around.
That's right. And I kind of kicked myself now because I should have done it earlier. But there were the fears of, oh, man, that's a big piece of equipment. I don't know if I can handle it. I don't want to take that responsibility. I'm going to be away from home, which, you know, I am. But those fears kind of held me back from doing what I thought I wanted to do. And now that I'm in it, I'm kind of, you know, I didn't want to kick myself because I didn't.
So, you know, I call this podcast with NACFI's Mike Rosenfrenz, and so I usually ask my guests to tell, you know, explain to the audience how you met me, but I'm going to say, I'm going to turn it around. We had the idea at NACFI for Run on Less. And so we were out talking to fleet leaders about it. And I was with Brent Nussbaum at Truckload Carriers in Nashville, Tennessee. And he and I met for a coffee, and he had two of his, I think the CFO and another leader from Nussbaum there. And they're talking about the run. And pretty quickly, Brent said, hey, Nussbaum's in. We want to do this. We want to show off our fuel economy and the technologies we're using. And I said, all right, well, start thinking about and call me in a couple of months as to who your driver would be. And they looked at each other, and he looked at his, other executives, and they all looked and they said, well, it's got to be Clark.
Well, that's pretty flattering.
So all the truck drivers got, yeah, I think they made a great choice. So you were part of that, that Run on Less when we did it, the first one back in 2017. What do you recall about that experience, Clark? And what was it about, and kind of what did it do for you and the industry, do you think?
Oh, sure. Well, the first thing that comes to mind anytime anybody asks me about that or just in conversation, it's amazing to me how quickly that non-competition demonstration turned into a competition.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't take the drivers long to figure out who was who on the website. And even though it was all anonymous, we figured it out pretty quick. And each of us kind of internalized that and said, well, I got to be at the top. But what turned into for me, that attitude, I got to be at the top, got me to looking at what they were doing and how they were doing it and what they were hauling, kind of. And I made a realization, it's kind of, this has carried on past that. And I think you can see that in my posts and stuff like that, is that there's only one thing I can control out here on the road, is that's how I drive my truck. So they were hauling different freight. They were running different routes. They were heavy. They were light. We all dealt with those two hurricanes that came rolling around. I think Joel in particular, I think it was him, that he had those real strong headwinds one day. And then a day or two later, he was being pushed out of town with the tailwinds. So that really had an effect on his economy, and he couldn't control that. All he could control was how he drove the truck. I think Mark had some problems with his truck where he had to idle because the AC or the solar wasn't working on his truck or whatever. So there were things that affected all of us that were really out of our control. But the only thing, like I said, was how I drive that truck. So I've kind of carried that into how I attack every day and every load. Is I can't control what the traffic around me is doing or the weather or the terrain. I just how I drive a truck. So when you focus on that, everything kind of follows after that.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit, because that's what we here at NACFI are hoping, the other 1.5 million of truckers out there that are doing similar work to you, approach it. So do you get up in the morning and look at the weather you have, the load you have, and start to prepare and think? I mean, I'm thinking that's a little bit like a sports analogy where, a player might think about, who's going to be guarding him tonight and what's the game going to be like? Do you coach it that way?
Oh, I sure do, Mike. The first thing I do in the morning after I get my coffee, gotta have that. But the first thing I do is I start checking the weather apps. I use Windy. That shows wind fields and potential rain ahead of me. And, I use that and other weather apps. But then I'm checking traffic. And am I going through any major cities? Are there any major events in those cities that I might have to go around or try to avoid somehow or another? To me, anyways, I don't just get in the truck and take off. I want to know what's ahead of me that could possibly hinder me or put me in a bad situation, and then make plans accordingly. And, of course, it doesn't matter what plans you make, where you plan to stop. That's all going to change at some point during the day.
Yeah.
But for me, planning is key to getting things done, being productive out here and being safe.
Yes. Yeah. So you mentioned your post. So we do follow you a little bit. And I noticed a while back you had a New Hampshire run or an East Coast run, because you oftentimes do 500-600 mile runs out west. I've seen you doing that, but this was a New Hampshire run where you talked about Exactly what you said. I mean, you probably got up that morning, you go, oh my, this is not going to be a 10 mile per gallon day. So yeah. Let's get into the numbers a little bit. Sure. Do you remember that? Remember that run I was talking about? I mean, I think it was rain and wind, and you had a lot of elevation changes, and I'm sure some traffic. Kind of a day like that versus another day, and give us some numbers. What would be a great day for that versus a great day of maybe wind at your tail and a lighter load, and help us with the numbers.
Sure. Well, you know, again, whether that all works into it. So I don't remember exactly what I did on that run. I do remember going up there, and I do remember that I had rain and, of course, elevation change out there. Traffic's always a problem out there, although right now, not so much. But I do remember that run, and I don't even think I hit double digits, which I might have.
I remember 8.5.
Yeah, I think that sounds probably about right, because I remember being a little bit disappointed in that. But getting back to, I did the best that I could do with that. You know, sometimes you get those days. But on a good day, coming back, I think I did much better. And I've had days running out there where I've been at, you know, 10 plus. With a lighter load and a tailwind, and, you know, of course, you still have the elevation in reverse, but that would be a good day out there. To be honest with you, 8.5 is a good day. In fact, it's an excellent day for a lot of guys, so I have no room to complain there, but what I'm used to running and what that turned into, you know, it's a little disappointing for me. I always want to be in double digits.
One of the things I've always found with a few of you is you always share not just the MPG number, but the conditions that you ran it in. That puts it in context for all of us. And so, sure. You know, you would probably, my guess is, me, as I've followed you over the years, you're, you know, 8.5 to 12 even, right? So tell us about, I guess you're getting a new truck soon. So tell us about how long you've been in this one. I got to believe this is sort of like a, you know, your dog or your friend or somebody, right? I mean, you had to trust them out and you're getting ready to have a big change. But what's it like? Tell us a little bit about it. What's its lifetime MPG, and what are you looking forward to with the new truck?
Well, this is a 2018 Cascadia, but it's what I ran in Ron Less, the first one. Right now, this one's got 412,000 miles on it. And its lifetime MPG is 9.96. I just dropped 100th because of some of the loads I've been running. But she's done real well, and I think the biggest one-day average I had with this is 14.1.
Wow.
That was running out west, and believe it or not, that was with 40,000 pounds on it. I got up there into Utah and got up on top of that basin there, and the wind was with me, and it was just perfect conditions. The truck has been very good, and I lifetime I wanted to have this thing at 10, and to be honest with you, it was over 10. It was at 10.2 for a long time until a couple winters ago. They had some real extremely cold weather there in North Dakota and South Dakota, and it seems like I was stuck out there the whole time. So I had like 64 straight hours of idle time because I had issues with a load, and that didn't help. And I haven't been able to recover from that, but couldn't be happier with how this truck's done fuel-wise, and Newstom's real good with setting them up. All the aerodynamics on this and on our trailers, it all contributes to that, and how you drive the truck contributes to it. So I just keep doing what I do with it, and it just keeps performing.
One of the things that comes up in our work quite often is people ask about drivers getting in different trucks and how it might be tough to learn a new truck, or, you know, not just the truck brands, like Volvo to an International or Freightliner, but the different technologies. So what do you expect when you get this new truck, and maybe what's the process you'll go through? I'm guessing it's still going to be a Freightliner Cascadia, but, you know, I'm sure there's going to be things on it that are quite different than what you have now. Sure. How will that turnover of the truck occur? Just walk us through that, if you don't mind.
Well, the first thing I'll do after you move everything out, and to be honest with you, Mike, that's a big process too, moving out of one and the other. That's kind of like moving out of a house or an apartment. You know, once you get everything in there and set up the way you need it, then the process of actually learning the truck comes in. The important part of that is, and guys don't do it, pick up that owner's manual and read it. You know, we can figure it out. So that's the first thing I'll do is I'll flip through that owner's manual and I'll check out all the new features. And there will be new features on that truck. There's a new side guard assist that comes into play, and how that operates and what that's actually looking at. I'll need to figure that out. I'm not sure how much I can talk about this, but I do know that it's going to have an enhanced drivetrain. So it's going to have a new engine, some tweaks to the transmission, I believe. And we're actually going to a 6x4 configuration now instead of a 6x2.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a little bit of a learning curve there again, because you do need different driving styles for those in adverse conditions. So I'll learn all that, and I'll work on all that, and then I'll start driving it and figure out its little, every truck's got its own little personality, its own little quirks. You kind of need to figure those out too, but we'll muddle through that and we'll figure it out in a month or two.
Hey, I also know you're part of Freightliner Team RunSmart, and the way I understand this is it's like a soft link to Freightliner. They help you tell your stories, you and Henry Albert and some others tell your stories to the industry to help them get better. But give us a little insight in what that is, and maybe how you got recognized for it, and how it helps you.
I got into it kind of unexpectedly. So they had I go to that website, teamrunsmart.com. Here's a little plug there. But I go to the website and read the articles from Henry and Jimmy and Linda and Bob. And the articles are about trucking and being successful in trucking and regulations and things like that. And they were looking for contributors. They had a little thing, would you like to write for us? Well, I do kind of dabble in that. So, yeah, I'll try that out. Send them in, the information they requested. And then I knew Henry, obviously, from Run On Less. And I had talked to Linda a few times. So I just sent them a message and said, what are they expecting of the people that write for them? And they said, boy, we're glad you asked, because Henry and I have both been trying to talk them into letting you on board. So at the time, they were looking to expand. They were mostly focused on owner-operators and lease operators. But they realized that 70% of the industry, I think was the number, are company drivers like myself. So they wanted to expand their reach and needed somebody that would come at it from that perspective. So that's one of the good things about Freightliner Team RunSmart, is the fact that when we post articles about the new regulations or paid parking or some kind of safety issue that's happening at the time, we all come at it from a different angle. So, you know, Henry's an owner-operator. He's got his own authority, and he's a single truck. And then we got Bob and Linda that are team expediter owner-operators. Jimmy's a fleet owner, and I'm a company driver. So we come at it from all different angles, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but it's nice getting those different views out there. And I think that's what we contribute to other drivers, too, is you can come to our website, you can come talk to us at a truck show, if we're there, and just talk to us, and we'll tell you how we've been successful. Maybe it works for everybody, maybe it doesn't. But we'll just tell you what our opinion is and how we've made things work. And that's a good part about it, is we get feedback from other people too. And then we've got some people that aren't truck drivers that follow too, because they're interested in the industry.
And that's what I would say. So we you know, this is a new age of technology in trucking. And so we, Maxi, I'm sure you do as well. I mean, the whole industry is welcoming new technology, new organizations and companies trying to bring products. I mean, I'd say most obvious is Tesla, right? And a few others that don't know trucking. So these are areas where we can help them bring better products to us by sharing our experiences. And you're exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned it. I mean, company driving, owner operators, small fleets, it's very different. Henry keeps his trailer all the time. You drop and hook often, yeah, multiple times a day, probably. So, it's very exciting. Hey, we're coming to the end, but I did want to share that I was thinking about you and getting ready for this discussion. And, your approach to your job, and I was thinking about, I'm a big fan of Coach John Wooden. Some listeners may not even remember him, but, you know, he was a legendary coach at UCLA, and they won 10 championships in 12 seasons. I mean, that will never happen again. But he defined success as, the best of which you are capable. And don't compare yourself, he cautioned, to others. Just do the best you can do. And so I always find talking to you, Clark, that, you approach your day doing the best you can, and and try to get the highest MPG possible. Like we talked earlier, those days where you know it's going to be windy, you know you're going to have to go through a city with congestion, and you just still try to do your best with what you're given. So what are some things that, given your success, what's some things you'd suggest to other drivers? And then I got a couple more.
I guess the biggest thing I would suggest to other drivers is be patient and learn to control the things you can control. Like we talked about earlier, I can't control how other people are driving. I can't control what the traffic is doing. The weather I can't control. I can somewhat control what roads I take and deal with the situations that are thrown at you. Be patient. That's it.
I know this may be putting you on the spot a little, but, you know, Nussbaum brings you some of the latest technologies. So for the manufacturers of all kinds of things, the truck, the powertrain, the instrument cluster, what would you tell those technology developers or those manufacturers to help bring you products that are easier to drive and better? And
I would tell them to get more input from more drivers. The technology is here to stay, whether we like it or not. It's here. The cameras and the radars, and they're here to stay. So drivers need to learn how to manage that stuff. But I feel like the manufacturers should get more involved with the drivers. Get as much driver input in as many different segments of this industry as they can.
Absolutely. And finally, Clark, what would you tell the driving public? So all of the folks in those little cars around you on the freeway.
Give us room out here. And just remember that we're trying to get home to our families. We're trying to get the loads delivered. We're trying to, you know, we might be hauling stuff that they need to do their job. So give us a little bit of room. And this is kind of an off-the-cuff thing that they may not think of. But, you know, we were talking about technology earlier. And more trucks have that front-facing radar that will actually slow us down or slam on the brakes in case something happens and, you know, we got to get on them. So if they are going to try and pull that maneuver where they got to run up the right side and then jump over in front of us, being aware that they might cause our truck to slam on the brakes and scare the people behind us.
Yeah.
We've had that happen a few times, and now we look for it because we've had it happen. So if someone's coming up the side of us, I'm backing off more than I did before. But just be aware these trucks are big, and they don't stop like they think they would. And the drivers are trying their best that if you see a space in front of a truck, it's not because he's wanting to go slow. He's trying to keep a space so he can stop safely. So jumping up there in that space isn't going to do anybody any good.
Well, very good advice. Thank you, Clark, for being with us today. And thank you for the great work you do, and really to all the truck drivers out there getting us the goods we want and need safely and on time. So best to you, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for all NACV does. I really do appreciate that.
Freight Efficiency with NACV's Mike Rosenfrantz.